CliffCentral.com.
All right. Yes, we are here. We are live. It is Tuesday. It's the 28th of July. All right. We have the lovely Pumi Mashiko with us this morning. Somehow she manages to look prettier than the rest of it. I mean, it's not hard when you've got me and Mbulelo on the team. But also the extra beautiful Sia Sangweni this morning. Mbulelo, what's that cap you're wearing?
I told you I did a football documentary.
Hang on. I need to kill this sound. It's very complicated. You know, I'm a sound engineer by day. Go on, say that again.
I did a football documentary in Sweden, and yes, this is the team of young men we took over there.
Yes. In fact, I think you should give a bit of an explanation about that documentary a little later on. I got a very nice email about you as well that we must read.
Oh, well,
jeez.
I know, you're being spoiled today.
Surprised. Today's just the day.
What a day. Hey? Jeez.
Pumi.
Time.
Pumi.
Good morning.
If you had two words to describe the way you feel right now, what would they be?
When I was sending it to Sia yesterday, is angry. Oof. And ready.
Oh. Angry and ready. Oy, oy, oy. First of all, so let's start with angry, because that's going to get the most attention. What are you angry about, Pums?
So, first off, people must totally understand that angry is like not just I'm extremely livid. There are so many things that make me so angry right now, not least of which is the fact that we've all been on Zoom calls.
Yeah.
Right? We've been on Zoom calls for months now. I do not expect people to still have like walk-ins behind them.
Oh, gee. Does that happen?
On a Zoom call. And we're like with serious people. There's like six of us. We're having a real deep discussion.
Yeah.
This woman in her gown walks in behind the guy. Walks past him, like saunters by. It's 9:30 in the morning. 9:30 in the morning. I'm just like, girl, have you brushed your teeth? And as if that was not enough, she stops to stare to see who else is on the Zoom call. I was just like,
you must be joking.
Wow.
Isn't that like,
that's amazing.
This is a professional environment.
It's amazing.
Professional environment, and here people are still like, can we just get over ourselves and just, this is how it is now. This is how it is now. Like, people right. are on Zoom calls. When you see a person on the phone, don't talk to them. They're like probably having a meeting.
This is such a good point.
When you walk into a room and the person is talking at their screen, they're probably in a meeting.
Yeah, I mean, none of us are doing house party anymore, so the social aspect of it is already faded. Yeah, so you must assume,
very quickly.
You must assume it's a professional situation, right?
Especially at 9:30 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Yes. At most, the people that I would excuse are young kids who still might not have that filter.
Yeah, they don't care. Young kids don't care. This is a
but for an adult.
And that's okay. I mean, like, everyone can forgive a kid once or twice, but if the kid is there the whole time, sitting on the parents' lap during a meeting, not on.
And you know what? To actually amplify your point, I don't understand at this stage why people still aren't set up. It's almost like people are surprised that they're going to have to do Zoom calls. You know, it's like they don't have earphones, or they haven't bought like a cheap mic for audio or something like that, just to have a space where, okay, this is the meeting space. What are people doing?
People don't give
what are we doing, guys?
They don't give a shit.
It's 4 months, guys.
Buffett, come on, guys. Come on.
Like, I'm just...
No, no.
It's embarrassing.
We can be, like, protesting that we don't want the lockdown. We can have all of those things. But can we just get used to the fact that this is how we work now? How we work now.
And get your own shit in order, right? I mean, you've said this a million times, Pums. You've said, like, people, you can see what squalor they live in. I mean, I saw a guy on the news yesterday. I hardly ever watch TV, but I was watching it yesterday. And there was a guy on the news, and he had a portrait of himself On the wall behind him.
Awesome. Like Ron Burgundy.
No, I mean,
I feel like you're getting to a point in the story, but I'm not getting it.
No, I thought it was cool because obviously he's got a hell of an opinion of himself, but I think it's the only artwork in his house. And I think it was probably a gift from his kiss ass staff, you know? So he's got it proudly behind. You're like looking at the screen and you're seeing the guy and then the portrait of the guy in the same screen.
Oh, yes.
I feel bad making fun of this man, but I thought his initiative was just a little slack. He clearly was trying to make a very creative looking space behind him for a video call. And this was actually also for the news.
Yeah.
Clearly, the only great space he could find in his home was his kitchen. So he placed his laptop on his kitchen counter, and behind him are cabinets.
Yeah.
He cleared the cabinets up, and he left them open, and then put books where all of his crockery would go. No,
I didn't think that was a kitchen. I thought those were the cupboards that he has in the study. He just opened them so you could see that he's got books inside.
Then leave them closed. No, I think that was his kitchen, and he was trying to be very fanciful, and it didn't work because I was so distracted the entire way through going, what is going on behind you?
I mean, all of the people that I've had most of the people, let's not say all, they either have a plain background, which is a good thing to do. I mean, you don't have to overthink this because really there shouldn't be too many distractions on these calls. It's already distracting enough, as Pumi says, when someone walks past in a negligee. But it would help if you just keep it plain. Like, you don't have to have a green screen, you know? You don't have to have like a moving background of some tropical island or something. Just keep it plain. Like, you can have a plain wall behind you. You don't have to decorate
because people are ingenious. There are actually websites where you can go and you can buy a background.
Yes.
That'll be your forever background to your Zoom call. Just buy the background.
And then people think you live
if you want to have a fancy
cupboard. They think you live in this mansion in Miami.
And you know what? For me, the problem isn't your corporate worker, whatever, not having it. I'm seeing so many people that are contributors to shows. I mean, particularly sports shows in my case, but where people don't have the right earphones, no mic. Like, what are you doing this far into 2020 where you're like shocked by a phone call from the news network?
I'm gonna stand up for poor Sia here because he's been setting up the TV show for the last couple of weeks. Let me tell you what I'm surprised by. I'm surprised at how many people, and he's made his eyes wide right now because he knows what I'm talking about. I'm surprised at how many people who are important individuals. These are people who have positions in society. They've written books. They've developed ideas. I mean, these are some of the smartest people in the world. They don't have Wi-Fi, first of all. And it's not as if they don't have money. I can promise you that the people I'm talking about in this case are not impoverished people who don't have a router in a shack. This is like they live in a nice house, but they just didn't prioritize Wi-Fi. Or someone else in the house is using the Wi-Fi or something. But, you know, you're talking about a professional person. Are we going to put you on TV? You would think, even if you have to, go to a friend's house who has good Wi-Fi and say to them, look, I'm going to be here for an hour and a half. I'll even pay you to just use your Wi-Fi because it's better. They don't. And then their Wi-Fi breaks up and they don't have, as Mbulelo says, they don't have the headphones or whatever. Now, you don't need to spend a lot of money. You know, you can use, like, and please don't, if you ever get asked to be on a TV show or radio show, don't use the Bluetooth earphones because those,
no,
it's a mess, okay? It's a real mess. Just rather use ones that you plug in to your device because the Bluetooth ones, there's so much interference. We have so many signals traveling through our world at the moment that your Bluetooth earphones are going to get lost in that. And then it and you don't know what the person's saying. It's terrible.
Gareth,
I'm surprised because Sia, he calls them the day before. In fact, the week before, he says to them, let's test your connection. And you sit there and you're patiently, and he makes them do a speed test on their connection. And he says, now, what earphones are you going to use? And then on the day, fuck me, they haven't brought on like some strange equipment.
Or then none. I have to talk to them for like 15 minutes during the test to make sure that their connection is stable. And Gareth, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that, of course, you have a lot going on that I don't bore you with these details. But there's a guest that we've had on the TV show who qualified, incredible, has done amazing things, could not operate Skype and their device. That
and you're not talking about a very old person.
No,
right?
No. I had to speak to them using their personal assistant, and the assistant, who also wasn't very technical, like she was a little inept, but, you know, we move on slightly. She had to be right next to the guest as we were operating where mute was and where to plug in.
It's excruciating.
There was a point where I actually said, excuse me, I just need to go and get something. I stood up. I just stood in my passageway and went, wah!
So Pumi, when you said that there are two words, you said angry and ready. Now, I didn't know what you were angry about, but it turns out we're all angry about this.
Thanks for making us angry now.
Oh, Jesus. Look at us all complaining like professionals.
All I'm saying, guys, and this then brings us to the second word, right? Ready.
Mm.
Just at all times. You know, like we spoke with Sia about being ready for like the end of the world 2012, having that little kit of stuff to be. This is the time, guys. This is the time to get yourself ready for that nonsense. Because has it not happened to the best of us? That the alcohol ban has happened, and here we are drinking a teaspoon of gin every night.
It's ridiculous. You are on your own. You're on your own. You must make sure you can fend for yourself. I think that's such a good point.
So ready. Ready is the word, y'all. Just be ready. Be ready for anything, because this 2020, it's like a movie.
It could come out of left field and hit you in the face at any moment.
I love it. I like that you're taking gin like you're taking a postal.
Hey, Baba.
You have to ration.
Now, I know we've discussed, guys.
You have to ration yourself. But also, after a day of Zoom calls and all of that, right? Uh-huh. You need it to like take the edge off.
Yeah.
So, but you can't have a whole 15 gin and tonics. Even that's, well, you can have 3 spoons.
I'm also, I know we've discussed this before, and I don't want to gild the lily on this one, but I have such a problem with people who are, they're almost like excited every day by this thing, because I'm desperate to be in a room with people again, and you know, like I can't wait for the show, and I don't like people. I can't wait for the show where we actually have guests sitting in a studio with me. Where it's not, we don't spend 10 minutes trying to sort out your connection first. You can actually just start the conversation. Heavens. I never thought I'd want that so much.
You're
because,
ready for it.
Because I enjoy saying, I told you so. I told you so months ago when I said being in the room is different. And I want to be very clear. I love being that guy who said, I told you so.
You keep a whole bunch of them in your backpack and then you hand them out.
You know, people keep an ace up their sleeve, not me.
No, he keeps printed cards with I told you so on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I keep it in my hand, ready to go. Yeah.
Do you want a compliment while we're busy talking about you?
Let's go with it.
I think you deserve it.
He's ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. I did some push-ups this morning. I feel good.
All right, let me find you something nice here.
Push-ups.
No, seriously.
Already? At this time?
Oh, yeah. Today, I'm working out like right now, guys. If I'm single by this December, then I know it's a me problem.
All right, listen to this.
Oh.
Where are you meeting people?
Shit, now I can't find it. I don't want to let you down. Hang on.
It's got to be here somewhere.
There's just such nice things people are saying about your sports show.
There's so many. He can't find the right one.
Oh, is that? That's so good.
Yeah, I have to dig around for a long time.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
So many.
Yeah, it's not you. It's me. I got you. Oh, man.
Hello.
So, Mulolo, where are you meeting all these people for this girlfriend that you're going to have in December?
The way I'm going to
look, like 5 months away.
The way I'm looking now, if I can just keep compounding this, the way I'm going to look in December, I won't need to be.
They'll
want to meet me. You better believe it.
All right, so listen to this before we get totally carried away. So this is from Julie. She says, "Hello, I just watched the Keegan Daniel interview on Cliff Central Sport. What a great interview. MKT, look, she's using your email.
Oh, yeah.
You are on fire. Your energy, passion, honesty, and enthusiasm was infectious and wonderful to watch. I loved the show. I cannot wait for more. Kind regards, Julie."
Thank you. Thank you, me, Julie.
Isn't that nice, huh?
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at you taking the credits here. It's very nice. Who did you have on last night, by the way?
Last night we had Skulk Brits, by the way, who is part of the 2019 World Cup winning team. But incredible guy. Another
What's he doing now? Because that was a long time ago.
It was 2019 was, I guess, in COVID years. In COVid years,
that was when we were still free.
Yeah,
free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I remember those times when you could kiss your mother on the mouth and just say I love you, and it wasn't considered a death sentence for her.
Yeah, you could actually be around people. Imagine that.
Oh, what a time.
Sex with strangers.
It was a better time. Yeah. No, he's an interesting guy. So he's working at Remgro now, and he's an accountant.
Really?
He's like legit, right? He is a legit corporate guy, and he's extremely interesting because he's that antithesis of your knucklehead sportsman, you know? He's in the corporate world, but really doing corporate work, not just that face pitching up at sales meetings as we've seen with sportsmen before.
Because that happens to sportsmen. A lot of them get co-opted just because they, you know, in South Africa, sports people are like gods. And especially
like celebrities.
Yeah, but especially like there's a certain kind of person in corporate South Africa who's just always impressed with a rugby player. And sometimes those are the kind of people who are also CEOs, and then they can't wait to like be around. It's almost like a girl crush. They can't wait to be around that rugby player more, so they offer them a position on the board. It's just kind of ridiculous.
We've seen it before.
So many times.
But what's cool is you get to see the nice thing about long form is you get to see the 360 degree view of a person, and then you start to hear this guy talk. I mean, he could be running Microsoft, for goodness sake. So very, very interesting to hear a guy like that. You can go and check that out.
Well, okay. Tonight, what do you got tonight?
Tonight will be Q&A, and then we've got a few interesting guests coming up this week. James Dalton on Thursday, by the way.
Okay.
He's back. He'll give us his rugby, always interesting rugby opinions on Thursday night. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well,
subscribe on the YouTube.
Here's an email from Fern. So Fern says, "Hey, Gareth, listening to you discussing police action in Cape Town as an artisan baker supplying the restaurant business and knowing so many people in the industry who are suffering greatly, I was saddened to see what happened there. We took part in a peaceful protest in Mussel Bay last Wednesday, and our police actually ended up escorting us as we marched around the point and along the main road. Afterwards, a whole bunch of us thanked them for their understanding and said they felt it was all they could do to show us some support. These cops in Cape Town needn't have gone so far, but to use tear gas and water cannons on people who've been unable to work for months and who are only protesting and maintaining physical distancing to boot is ridiculous. Anywho, let's hope the madness ends soon. Regards, Fern." I totally agree with you, and I'm glad that you got to protest properly. Did you watch that on TV? For me?
So, you know I don't watch the news, right?
No, I know. That's why you're so happy and healthy.
and yet I get angry.
Yeah.
But the stuff you see on social media, and I've told you about my feeling about videos on social media, because it's always this crazy surprise.
Yeah. And
there's just so much violence in so many videos. And I saw a lot of people complaining about it, putting it out there. So massively disappointing to know that our police force today has not changed one bit from the police force we had in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s. The crowd control, they don't understand what crowd control is about. They don't understand that their job is peace officers. They all of that. But then, you know.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
We should, guys, this is the time. Anarchy. The country's ready.
What do you think we're ready for? Because the guests on the TV show this week, I've got Herman Mashaba and Dalimpofu. Okay, so you've got the EFF, former national chairperson, and the founder of the People's Dialogue, which he's going to launch into a political party. And they're going to contest the local and I think provincial elections. Anyway, so I had these two on yesterday, and I said to them, how do we protest better? And you can watch the show tomorrow night, and you'll see what they had to say. But I don't think we have enough answers. There are no good answers, and we can beat up on Cyril all we like, and we do on this show. It seems almost like it's getting a bit like a stuck record for me. There's no way this guy's a leader. And you've said this from the beginning, Pumi, so you're not going to be pulled in on this. You've been very clear right from the get-go that this guy is not a leader. He's not your leader. And you are very disappointed. No, in fact, you're not even disappointed because you expected nothing more. Right.
Yeah, no.
But I sometimes think when I go to bed at night, like I have things to think about and people to worry about and a business to run and all that stuff. But my problems, my decisions on a daily basis, although I think they may have some consequences and often I screw up those decisions, I don't have anything near the scale of decisions that the president has to do. And I know how much my decisions worry me and how I stay up at night. And when I see him on TV, I see a very, very tired man who's totally out of his depth. And I see that with a lot of the ministers in his cabinet, too. I mean, it's so hilarious that Fikile Mbalula said to some weekend newspaper, people think we're stupid. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but could I do better? Because we all think we could do better. And I don't know, hey, this is an unprecedented situation. I'm not trying to go back on anything I've said. You know, I've been a vocal critic of the president. I'm not afraid to say what I think. None of us on this show are. But, man, it's an unenviable task, and it just does not seem to be letting up. This guy is – he's going to either go down in flames, and he won't make it to the end of this term. And who knows what we'll get then. Didi Mabuza, maybe Duduzane Zuma will come out of the shadows.
Somizi
might be president. You don't know. But I don't think it's going to necessarily be better. And that worries me a lot.
You know, the thing that the Audre Lorde, the quote that has been coming up and been top of my mind for the main part of the lockdown about the master's tools, you know, that the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. And they may temporarily allow us to beat him at his own game, but it will never bring about a lasting change. I feel a lot like that. I feel like we need bigger imaginations than what we've been using up until now. Protest is not going to, you know what I'm saying? It's we need bigger imaginations for bigger things.
I could not agree more there, Pumi.
That is overwhelming.
Which part? Thinking, the thought, big size, or
it just makes me feel like everything right now has just been futile. Like, oh well, you know, we're being kept in our place here.
So new political parties, really.
Yeah, it's a tremendous point by what Pumi's saying is that. If we imagine ourselves the way we were in order to do different things, it doesn't work. Because one thing that is very clear right now on this planet is that power is now going global, which is the economic power, right? Uh-huh. The political power is becoming more and more local. What that means is nobody cares about politicians, but nobody's ready to admit that. Is everybody's after industry because everybody cares about Amazon. No one cares about these things.
Yeah.
And very soon, we will eliminate, and we can see it, is rarely we can have an app do what government does.
We probably can.
We rarely could, right? And that's very, you know, that's where the tension is for me, is can we imagine a world where we don't, oh, thank you, my great leader. Can we imagine that world and then act on it? I think Pumi's making a great point, is now we need to go, Cyril, who? No, app 607, I need the water in Randburg, in Marwele Ring, I need it now. App 607, please send a driver like you do Uber. Are we ready to act on that? I think we have to imagine a new world. Because this thing of recycling, hey, come on now.
Yeah. Oof. I'd love that app. Man, that would be great. You just, because I mentioned yesterday on the show that we had municipal strikes here in Pretoria, and our water wasn't working Saturday morning or yesterday. Our electricity wasn't working Saturday night. And I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of this amateur country. I'm just, like, these are things I'm paying for already, man. I pay up front, and I get nothing for it. Zero. Just not on. I don't mind paying for things, and then, you know, they are a bit late, or they have an excuse, or, but this is, like, all the things I'm paying for, I don't seem to be getting, and it's just not on. And I think that's true for 98% of the people in various municipalities across the country. Don't know that there's anyone who's going, you know what, I'm thrilled with mine. They're so good. They just do such a wonderful job. And that's why we're giving them an increase.
Ooh,
they give themselves an increase for doing shit jobs. Anyway, all right, let's get into some headlines because we've got a lot to cover this morning. Where should we begin? Let's start with a story from EWN this morning. Patricia DeLille has announced a billion-rand projects and corruption detection system. Well, so they're accelerating the implementation
system
infrastructure projects to combat the negative impact of COVID on the economy. So they have gazetted a list of strategic integrated projects to be rolled out over the next few months. You know, the more words they use to describe something, probably the less likely it'll ever happen.
Touché.
More than 270 upgrade projects are now being facilitated by her department after infrastructure was incorporated into the department to ensure more efficient delivery. Public Works and Infrastructure Minister Patricia DeLille has explained why projects affecting services like water, sanitation, energy and transport were so important. I wonder why. Really, Patricia, let's talk about that. Just do it. We don't need to know why. I think we get it. She said, sustainable infrastructure development system methodology, also aimed at eradicating corruption within the construction center, would be undertaken. We're putting systems in place that can prevent and detect corruption. It's like an alarm bell. The minute anyone steals money. Can you imagine?
Detect. I like the...
We've got theft and corruption on aisle 6. Theft and corruption on aisle 6. Patricia DeLille. Hello, Patricia DeLille. Theft and corruption on aisle 6.
Patricia, tell you void.
I mean, really. So let's see what happens there. But she says projects costing 138 billion are being planned for the human settlement sector, while water and sanitation projects collectively amount to 106 billion. Well, she sold her soul to go and join the ANC's cabinet here. So let's see if she can deliver. We won't judge her before it happens, because she's an unknown quantity in this respect, and maybe, just maybe, she means what she says. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. Certainly we've done this with government before, and we've been burnt, but I don't see a reason not to give Patricia a little bit of a chance to start running. Rubber bullets and tear gas have been used against protesters on the N1 highway near Uistenberg-Vlakte. This is after the group Gutful Cape Tonian called on communities across the city to block roads. You see, Pumi, angry and ready, huh?
Ha-ha!
The movement, which set sights on shutting Cape Town down, has now distanced itself from ongoing protests. Why? Because they've probably become violent. You know, this happens in protests. We saw this with Black Lives Matter. It started off, it's about police brutality, and then it morphs into, like, just riots. Because the people who join these things see an opportunity to steal stuff or destroy stuff. So they were hoping to disrupt this group, Gutful Cape Tonian, the lives of citizens. Why disrupt the lives of citizens? These are not your enemies. Citizens are not the people who you should be fucking with. Surely it should be government. Blockade their houses. Blockade their blue light brigades. Make it difficult for them.
And don't they all live in that village?
Yes. So there's one entrance to block.
So they're easy to pen in.
I don't understand this. To go after ordinary Cape Tonians just seems to me to be like you've got the wrong enemy in your sights, Gutful Cape Tonian. Seriously. The group had called for action until 11 a.m., but hours later there were reports of unrest in Kryfontein, Bellville, and Atlantis. Spokesperson Fadil Abraham said, I called it off at 10 a.m. because SAPS were provoking us. I said, guys, let's go home. What happened after 11 is not my responsibility. That is why we have law enforcement.
Guys, that's the problem, law enforcement, instead of peace
officers.
Right.
Here's another story. This is from ENCA. They say all prisons in the country will now be assessed following the prison break. You heard about the 68 prisoners broke out of the Malmesbury Remand detention facility. They say overcrowding and security measures will be scrutinized. They escaped on Friday when they overpowered 20 officials. Yes, that could happen. When you have triple the number of people to officials, that could very well happen, guys. You didn't see this happening?
I wish I could see visuals of this happening.
They managed to get all of them back behind bars within 76 hours. Now, that's impressive. The breakout has exposed a flaw in the system, which now needs to be identified. Oh, you don't say.
68 people. Get Patricia in.
Yeah. She's identifying and looking for corruption, yeah.
And then the president's spokesperson. You heard about this, right? She has been asked to take a leave of absence, or she's been requesting a leave of absence, because Jackson Mthembu announced yesterday that Khusela Diko has been given.
She requested it.
Yes, she requested
it. Apparently, she said she's taking it.
Yes.
Please, can I have some time off?
Right, and you know why? Because
I'm a daughter, I had Dika.
Because
I'm out here. The princess is out there working at the presidency, doing her job every day, working hard, and her husband is putting her livelihood in danger out here, getting fraudulent tenders. I'm a daughter.
Well, this is the story. Last week, a local newspaper reported how a 124 million rand tender was awarded to Royal Baqa Projects, which is owned by Amabaqa King Madzikazi Thandiziwe, who is the husband of the president's spokesperson.
All I'm saying is that the sister, she landed a good one, his royalty and all. Next thing.
Corruption.
Next thing.
Corruption.
Mm.
Patricia, over here, by the way.
Yeah, here's another one.
Yeah, Patricia, ring that bell. Yeah. Patricia, aisle six.
Presidency, there's a problem in the presidency. This is Jackson Temple. Patricia, please come quickly with your buckets and your mop.
Is this... Are you talking about the president's spokesperson?
Clean up in presidency, you haven't aisle seen the... three.
What a
clean up in the president's room. Have you... You're talking about...
Yes! Look, it was... It's been
Have
raining tenders.
The thing about his son.
What happened?
And the vent...
Go on, tell me this one. I didn't know this.
There is a project out here in Gauteng, you know, because the taxis are getting like full capacity.
Uh-huh.
So in order to assist with the full capacity story is like they're being equipped with some ventilation systems of some sort. I don't know how. All I know is that there was a tender out, and the young man who got this tender is one Andile Ramaphosa.
Oh, that sounds like the president's surname.
Maybe it's just a coinkidink.
Ah, okay. So the ANC continues to be spectacularly nepotistic and corrupt. Surprise. Pumi's not surprised.
That tender's worth 6 million rands.
Oh, only 6?
6 million rand.
But why does he need money?
If you are CNI, right, if we had billionaire parents, we would not be out here looking for tenders. I'd be living on a stipend from my parents' house. I'd be running
also,
the foundation.
It would be beneath you to try and scrounge for 6 million if you had a parent who's a billionaire. It's just beneath you. It's so common. It's so common vulgar to go after 6 million of taxpayers' money when you have a father who can just give you that much. You could buy a car for that in cash.
So I'm wondering if we're going to start asking ourselves about, is the man really a billionaire?
Oh, wow.
Well, that's what they did with Donald Trump when he became president. Remember, they said, he's not worth as much as he said.
Mm. Your people are crumbling left, right, and center. People will have some explaining to do. I also saw that Chichi Maponya was awarded a tender as well. And I thought, here we go. So they...
Not a AMA tender.
It was
tender.
A combined, yeah.
I think she got four.
So Maponya Medical Solutions, they got a combined tender value of 267 million rands.
Huh.
between March and April.
Hey, you see ya? Cookie company. There's a company on the tender list, guys. All told, that company has walked away with some close to 500 million rand.
Well, while we're talking,
I looked at that list, and I properly looked at that list, and then I realized I don't have the right friends. Don't know a single person on that damn list.
We don't know these people. How embarrassing!
Not a single one.
Embarrassing. And then just to go internationally for a second, in the headlines, Facebook has pushed back against a European Union investigation into its practices, taking it to court over privacy concerns. Two investigations being carried out into Facebook to find out if it breaches competition laws. To gather information, the European Commission has demanded internal documents from Facebook that include 2,500 specific key phrases. I mean, that's crazy, right? Facebook says it means handing over unrelated but highly sensitive data. Well, if it's so sensitive that you can have it, Facebook, but the government can't.
Do people send nudes on Facebook?
Yay.
Oh, sure. They send nudes everywhere. It was one of the first things people did when we started, when we got phones with colored screens. Are you kidding?
So well, it's at this point we should break the news to Sia that Facebook own WhatsApp now. So, yes, people send nudes on Facebook.
Yes. Well, okay, WhatsApp, yes, I get. But nudes on Facebook, see, I'm too slick with the nude game, so I wouldn't do that anyway.
No, when you do it on WhatsApp, you're sending it through Facebook. Just be aware of that now. I know to you it sounds different, but if you send it on WhatsApp, Zuckerberg's out there surfing and then going back to his alien spaceship and looking at your nudes.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. That's how it
and
works.
That is sensitive information that the government does not need to have. Let's just be clear.
And neither does Zuckerberg, frankly. You know, I know that I know people sign up for this. I know that when you join Facebook, there's this whole terms and conditions thing that nobody reads.
Mm.
And it's wrong that they put that in because it's long. If you've ever actually printed out the document that you sign when you join WhatsApp, Facebook, or Instagram, let me tell you something. It's like a Bible.
It's not like you can cross out, I hate this section.
Uh-huh.
Can we just take this out? Can we amend this one just for my personal usage? You can't do that.
Take it or leave it.
Just
huh?
Click accept. Yeah. Just click accept and move on.
Well, I don't think the government or Facebook should have this information, but then that's up to you. You've got to actually, I'm afraid this fight is yours to have individually. And if you don't feel that you're being treated fairly, then just get off of Facebook. Get off of it. There are other platforms.
Imagine that life.
No. You don't think so?
See, there are groups on Facebook that one needs to belong to. Groups such as Ingxakizes Jolo Zasemthatha.
That was a dating group.
What's this?
It's like so there is one for every village. There is no lali that does not have one. Ingxakizes Jolo is the problems of Umjolo. Mbulelo, can I tap into your
question? Sure. The trials and tribulations of philandery.
Oh boy, okay, that must be a very popular group.
But these are specific to certain like places. There's an entire group for Umthatha. There's a group for Sprint. You must tap into the proper village.
Your life is so colorful. You know?
I got an interesting email yesterday. You know, Sia, we were talking about that 150 million rand house that's for sale in Cape Town. So I got an email here from somebody who will remain nameless because they said there's such corruption in that industry. Hi Gareth.
Which industry?
The property market in Cape Town. Hi Sia Pumi and Mbulelelio. They obviously didn't spell your name right.
It's unbelievable.
Just some insights into Cape Town real estate from yesterday's show. Our family business was heavily involved in building some of these homes, and 150 million is not the peak. A German porn director bought five neighboring properties in Camps Bay, tore them down and built Enigma Mansion with timber imported from Austria, marble from Italy, and gold-plated fences. Extremely raunchy pictures of his wife in massive mosaics by the pool, which can be rotated for functions. The mansion sold to a friend's family for over $300 million.
It's at this stage, it's important. It's important that I seem far more cool than I am, but I have been for a party at that particular estate.
You have?
And it is out of this world.
Jesus.
But that's what Camps Bay is. By the way, I hate to help people look behind the curtain, but it's essentially a porn set, for those that don't know. Camps Bay is porn set.
Really, huh? Sure.
Oh, sorry. Am I breaking news here?
Enigma Mansion, okay. Yes. Comes up shrine to a porn star sells for 99 million rands back in 2015.
Apparently a whole lot more. So additionally, your estimations when it comes to construction costs are way off. I was involved in building houses in Cape Town for oil tycoons who bought their neighbor's property for 30 million in Fresne to turn it into a tennis court and a New Year's Eve dance floor for global A-list celebrities. The Hugo Boss family, who we built a timber staircase out of Aframosia for, cost 2 million rand, just the staircase. The inventor of screw-on studs for football boots, whose house rotates with the sun. Fashion designers, billionaires, car elevators. Chandeliers in these houses can cost between 500,000 rand and 2 million rand. I have walked, says this person. A chandelier. I have walked on 3 million rand carpets.
Yes.
3 million rand carpets.
I would also, at this stage, like to help you in case you ever step into these rooms with high society, Gareth. I don't want anybody embarrassing me. It's Freyne. By the way, to my kosher, I'm serious, to my kosher brethren and sisters in Seapoint, I'm sorry.
It comes from French, but nobody calls it that. It's like you could say Paris if you're trying to be smart, but it's Paris in English.
I just want to apologize to anybody who lives above a certain street, Ocean View Drive in Seapoint, for hearing Fresne. Yeah.
Holy Maya Angelou, why have you forsaken me?
Hectic.
Why is there a carpet worth 3 million rands? That is the money of my life.
And you're not rolling around in it.
Oh my God.
So is this... Wow.
Yeah, many questions.
All right. Well, I thought I'd throw that in.
I'm dumbstruck. I'm actually heaven.
Wow.
Those people are not pushing, they're not elbowing each other out of the way for tenders. I can tell you that
they are not. No.
They're just shooting porn videos in their backyards.
That's in fact, front yard, generally porch.
Front yard. On the street.
front deck next to the swimming pool.
You sound way too informed. Now.
I can't reveal whether I have been on a porn set or not. It's not in my legal interest at this stage, but I can tell you.
Oh my God, this is getting very
porn
saucy.
Sets galore in Camps Bay. Oh yeah, yeah. No, this
I
is real, guys.
Headline.
If you're in Cape Town and you live in Camps Bay, hit us up. Let us know.
Jesus.
But it's real. I know this world well.
You're making it sound like just being on that street. You needed a chlamydia test.
Oh wow. Okay. I'm not saying that. What's the next headline? I respect
too
these
much.
People. Yeah.
Next headline. Please.
Yeah.
No, that's all we got. I'm not going down that hole. Bulelo, keep talking. This is interesting. People want to know. I will go to some of the WhatsApp messages. Oh shit! Hang on. Now I've gone and cut them off. Hang on a second. I've got to get these guys back. Oh, how irritating. We're having a technical problem, everybody, but I'm busy sorting it out, so don't panic. I will have Sia and Bulelo and Pumi back in just a second. But wow, how's that for some stories, huh? I can't believe some of these things that that are going on in this world. Unbelievable. Porn sets in Cape Town. Holy mother of God. Let me just see if we get them all back. Hey, guys. Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Oh, okay.
We thought it was something Sia said.
No, it was probably something Bulelo said.
We thought the mention of chlamydia was too much.
Yeah. So apparently government has a clock that every time someone does something corrupt, the second hand moves once. They're currently using it as a fan in the basement. Wow. Morning, Gareth. You're a history buff. What do you think about the new King of England, Joseph Gregory Hallett, King John III? I'm not sure what you're talking about, Julius, but if you can send me some more info, I'll have a look at that. I know that there's an Australian guy who he claims descent from a senior branch to the Queen, and his name is King Simon. He's actually a Facebook friend of mine, and he actually has a superior bloodline to the Queen. But I don't know about King John III. That's news to me.
Has he just always claimed this, or is this something new?
His father didn't either, but other people who are genealogists who look at family trees have managed to figure out that it is quite possible that the Queen's claim is not as strong as this guy's. And he lives on a farm in Australia. I mean, he is an aristocrat. I mean, he's got, you know, his title is Earl of Loudoun.
Oh,
or Loudoun, as some people call it. Yeah. So he's not claiming to be king. He certainly has the bloodline, and it's down the male line, and he's probably got a stronger claim than almost anyone else. But the Queen just doesn't, she doesn't even acknowledge it, and he doesn't try to get in the way.
I was going to say, would it change much? Because I only stumbled across the story recently, a couple of months ago, but it's the story of Thomas Jefferson, I think, and the descendants of, you know, his slave, Sally Hemingway.
Yes.
And they had children. So now the black descendants and the white descendants are now coming together in recent years, and they're preaching reconciliation. Well,
it's interesting.
Black descendants want to be buried at Monticello, and they want the right to have that.
Well, there's a really great article about this in one of the U.S. papers that I might have read the same article you did. But there are more black descendants of Thomas Jefferson than white. And they are all through the relationship he had with his slave, Sally Hemings. And obviously, you know, people, we look back now and we're like, oh, well, that was obviously a power and abusive relationship. But you don't know. And in those times, every relationship between a man and a woman was an exercise in power. I mean, women didn't have a say in what happened.
You know? But she was a teenager and a slave.
No, it's terrible. I mean, it's total abuse. Today, he'd probably lock him in jail for that. But it happened. What are we going to do?
So jungle fever is not news, what you're saying.
I hate that term. Sure. Such a horrible term. That is, it's horrible. It makes me so angry.
So, I mean, they're fighting for that right, and they want to be acknowledged more.
No, but they have been. I mean, they're all allowed. Like that whole Jefferson family, the white and black Jeffersons, are all given special access to Monticello, and they go to celebrate Thomas Jefferson's birthday and that kind of thing. And there are descendants of Sally and Jefferson buried at Monticello already. So it wouldn't be so strange. I like the fact that you got a black branch and a white branch. I was talking to a friend of mine. Her uncle married a woman called Nosipo. She's a white girl. Her uncle's this white dude. He married this woman who doesn't speak any English in KwaZulu-Natal. Her name is Nosipo, and they have a child called Andiswa. And they're in the family, you know. It's not exactly the same as the Jeffersons, but
wait a minute. Whoa, rewind there.
They live in the township. He's a white man,
and she's a black woman who doesn't speak English. And nothing. Does he speak?
He speaks Zulu. He only speaks Zulu.
Okay, all right. Okay, I was wondering, Kren, what's going on there?
And the child doesn't speak English either.
The Exum guy has a really lovely book called The Madonna of Excelsior.
Oh, yeah?
And it's set in Excelsior in the Eastern Cape. And it's all about these, like, trusts and love triangles with the farmers and the maids.
Yes, but we know this happens, huh?
Of course.
About that. This is not
and
new.
In the barn.
South Africa,
In the back of the bear, far away.
This is the big secret about South Africa that's so, you know, especially in these very racist farms and, you know, these places where people live separately and they basically still do what Verwoerd told them to do. I'll tell you the deep, dark secret there is there's a lot of stuff going on in the dark that nobody knows.
Hey! Yeah, Marda, what doing you like that?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Hey, Martin, leave Martinus alone. He loves who he loves.
Absolutely.
But there is also, you know, speaking of predominantly black, Thomas Jefferson having lots of black descendants, uh-huh. is even in South Africa, there was that awesome film a couple of years ago, true story about, I forget what her name was. I think the film was called Skin.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And white Afrikaans girl, both her parents white, Verkrante Afrikaners, in mm-hmm. a small town somewhere. And when she was born, she was black because of the recessive genes on both sides wow. of her family.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's interesting stuff.
In the midst of this, and then obviously the first thing that came out is everybody's like giving the mother sideways skiffs, right? How, madam? Yeah. Only to find that this is actually her husband's daughter after all of the, but this was also in the time of all the pencil tests and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the child got classified black. And she had to be moved away from her parents.
Oh, no.
Mother and father. It's a heartbreaking story. Well, I mean, it really is.
We read Phila Sekint when we were kids. The Dalian Mateer book, which is pretty much along the same lines.
It's yeah.
This little white boy who, you know, gets taken away from his actual parents. And anyway, all of those stories, this is the tapestry of South Africa that we forget because we think that everything is binary. And it's all this way or that way, and it really isn't. We've got such a mixed up, interwoven, interlocked tapestry. I mean, you know, the colored people of South Africa are the greatest example of this, probably in the world. Because here you had this country where there was, and there still is, you know, huge social disparity and inequality and difference and judgment and all kinds of things. And you've got a nation of people. They're a nation. A nation of people who've grown up with this irony in their past, this irony of like, well, if these people were as good or as bad as you thought they were in the past, and if things were like this, then how...
Sandra Lane.
How could,
that was her name.
Ah, thank you. Okay, there we go. Then how could you also love them? Because a lot of this was obviously, you know, like violent and horrible and probably like molestation or even rape. But some of it must have been love. Some of it must have been love that was just frowned upon by the society of the time. Just like you couldn't have gay relationships in those days, you know. So people would, they'd get married, but they'd still have their lover on the side. People are so complicated, and we are only scratching the surface when these things happen now. I do love it.
It's interesting times. Before the lockdown, I went to having moved back to Joburg, went to a braai with friends. Yes. And I don't know if I've told the story before, but of about the 15 people that were there, so all black guys,
yeah.
Not one had a black girlfriend, right? And I thought, I'm always going to stir the pot. And I thought, guys, what's going on here? So eventually a white guy arrives, Angelo arrives. So I think, okay, at least, yes, so we can have... Steps out the car, lo and behold, black wife.
So it was totally mixed up.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love it. It's never been an issue for me. So for me, it's like, yeah, let's move on.
I don't know if it is still an issue. In fact, I think almost people treat people.
I think it is.
You think so?
No, I know it is. I mean, when you live in Cape Town, it's been startling moving back to Johannesburg to see that. You don't see that in Cape Town. Cape Town's not a mixed, whether you want to admit it or not. I know they think they're liberal. No. No, there's none of that malarkey going on there yet. Cape Town's a good 30, 40 years behind in my view.
No mixing happening at Enigma Mansion?
No. That's a professional. That's different.
It's a professional setting.
Yeah, don't mix personal and quoted. Professional. That's contractual, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're quotas.
Yeah.
Like no in comment. Sport.
No comment.
All right. Okay, we got lots more to come in the next hour of this show.
So nice.
So much more. So we'd like to hear from you.
You didn't finish telling us your Cape Town story, Mulen.
Which part of the Cape Town story? Where did I finish up?
He just got lost in the... Don't forget Cape Town. Much as they like to think they're liberal.
No, I was just saying that they don't mix. It's not a mixed society there. It's white over there, black over there. Is what I was saying.
Yeah.
If I don't know if I'm breaking news to anybody.
No,
so.
That's pretty much that's common knowledge, I think.
That's what we know. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
All right. When we come back, we got lots more to talk to you about. Plus, lift the ban. A lot of people have had enough now. I mean, my mother and father are doing unbelievable things to get hold of cigarettes at the moment. Unbelievable. They are talking to friends of mine and people who I don't even know and saying, all right, well, can you get this? Can you get that? And the prices are just unbelievable. I mean, they're not going to stop smoking, so they're going to smoke horrible stuff. And they're not the only ones, by the way. Leanne was on the show on yesterday morning saying the same thing. So we'll find out.
When we come back, I'd like to hear from you, Gareth, about your concern for their health even more with poor quality cigarettes.
Yeah, well,
and I'd like to hear that after we come back.
Sure.
I don't know if you want to.
No, sure. 100%. Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about that and more. You know what to do. Get hold of us on 079-748-2090.
CliffCentral.com.